You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that you're God who loves to speak to us, that you've spoken through many times and places, through your prophets, through your apostles, but most chiefly in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us this evening to listen to him, that we might hear the good news of his love for us, and that we might receive his word gladly. And this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you'd turn back in your bulletin to the 2 Peter reading, the 2 Peter reading, as they say in my country, and in other countries, so don't be alarmed. So you can follow along with me and make sure that what I'm saying is trustworthy and true. Well, I wonder what you are paying attention to. What is your focus on in this life? Maybe it's family or friendships or work that's taking all your attention. Maybe serving the poor or caring for the sick, attending church. I would love it if that was the thing that took all of your attention. Maybe attending your small group. These are all good things to do, aren't they? But like a ship that goes off course only a little bit at the beginning, but after a while is miles away from where it should be, these good things can take us away from where we really need to be focusing. And so today, in this reading from Peter, he reminds us that our attention, our focus in this life, should be on God and his word. God and his word are a lamp shining into our darkness by which everything else is illuminated. Peter opens this passage with a reminder. Let's look at verses 13 and 15 again. I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, excuse me, I'm not crying, it's okay. I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I'll make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. Well, while he still has time left, he wants to remind his brothers and sisters in the faith of what he knows to be and what is the truth. He wants to stir up his fellow believers, not to rile them up in frustration, but to encourage them. To encourage them to continue on, pressing on towards the goal to which they've been called. He wants to wake them up to the truth. He knows that his time is fleeting, and so he wants to spend the little time that he has left on the things that he deems important. I wonder what you would put on that list of things that you think are important that you want to get across. What would your final words be? If you could write a letter to your former self, your younger self, what would it say? Maybe invest in Apple and Amazon early, or more seriously, something like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, or spend less time in the office, more time with your kids. Well, what does Peter include? Well, in the previous verses that we don't have, he encourages the readers to godliness, that they're saving faith might be accompanied by virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness, brotherly affection and love, that by doing so they may be kept from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He also encourages them to be all the more diligent to confirm their calling and election so that they may not fall. They've been given such great promises, they've been given such abundant grace and mercy, that Peter desires that they continue on in the freedom that has been purchased for them, that they would constantly remember that they have been cleansed from sin through Jesus Christ and they've been given his righteousness. And then in our passage, he reminds them to pay attention to God and his word, for it is reliable and trustworthy. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm happy to tell you, and you might even be happy to hear this, but I'm not dying. I've still got a few more years in me, hopefully. But this is my last sermon. This is my last day at the Advent. This is my last service at the Advent, which is kind of fitting because the 5 o'clock was my first service at the Advent. And so I want to remind you of the same things that Peter does. Because just like the original readers of this letter, you and I are prone to forget. We get distracted by the troubles of this world. We get fixated on things that we can't control. And we forget all that God has done for us. That we have been cleansed from our former sins, that we have been granted entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even though we know these things, and we're established in the truth already, we need to be reminded to constantly to pay attention to God, to keep fixing our eyes on Him. Well, why does Peter want to remind us of those things? Well, it's because of the experience he had when he encountered the glory of God at Jesus' transfiguration. Look at verses 16 through 18 with me again. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on that holy mountain. Well, Peter wants to remind his brothers and sisters in Christ of these things because he is fully convinced that they are true. He's confident of their accuracy. The thing that he's most confident about, we see in verse 16, is the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the phrase coming of our Lord Jesus Christ can be a little bit tricky to know what it's referring to. But the coming that it's referring to is the second coming of Jesus Christ, when Jesus will return to finish everything that he has started, to make all things right once again. And just a little trick for when you're reading the Bible, whenever you see that word coming in connection with Jesus, it nearly always is talking about his messianic advent in glory, his second coming, when he'll come to judge the world at the end of this age. So Peter has confidence in talking about the second coming and the power of God, and we can have confidence in this letter because he wasn't making any of this up. He wasn't following cleverly devised myths. He wasn't telling a tall tale. He was just setting forth what he himself had been convinced of through God's revelation to him. He was an eyewitness to God and his glory. He saw with his own two eyes Jesus being transformed into the glory that he'll have when he returns. He heard with his own two ears the voice born from heaven, which confirmed for them that Jesus was this Messiah, the Son of the living God. They were there, man, on that mountain. Now, there's many things that you could know about me just by looking at me. You can know that I'm Caucasian, that I'm, you know, probably middle-class male, married, in relatively good health. I'm not dying anytime soon. But there's so much more that you don't know about me. Even after being here for 6-7 years, there's still things you don't know about me. You wouldn't know, for instance, unless I told you that my favorite sporting teams are Sydney FC, the mighty St. George Illawarra Dragons, Sydney Swans, and the New South Wales Waratahs. I want you to know these things before you leave, because no one's going to tell you these after I'm gone. You wouldn't know that, like most Australians, I'm always fighting the urge to practice my cricket strokes. So really solid forward foot defense, or right arm medium fast pace over the wicket. You just got to do that whenever you can. I hope the Linebar family appreciate that one. You wouldn't know that for my 10th birthday, I had a Backstreet Boys themed party. Or that, you guys didn't hear this in the morning, but in high school, that I was a drummer in a rock band. It didn't go well, Leith. I could have used you. But there's a reason why I'm up here and not back there. You wouldn't know that one time in my life that I wanted to be a chef, and I'm glad that I didn't follow that path either. And I could go on, but I won't for your sake. The point is, there are some things that we can only know through revelation, through someone revealing that to you. And that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Savior, is one of those things. And for Peter, he'd seen the miracles that Jesus performed. He'd heard about Jesus' teachings. But he still needed convincing. And it was the transfiguration and that voice of God, the glory of God being revealed to him, which confirmed for him that Jesus truly is who he says he is. And it confirmed for him that Jesus truly is coming back as he has promised. The transfiguration was a preview of that second coming of Jesus for him. And in that moment, God revealed to the apostles there the glory that Jesus was going to receive and the glory that he would come back with. And Peter was honored to be there. But we don't need to have that same mountaintop experience that Peter had. For we have something just as convincing. We have God's word written down for us. Look at verses 19 to 21 with me. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It would have been amazing to be there, to see the glory of God fully revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, to catch a glimpse of the glory that's waiting for us in eternity. It would have been life-changing. I don't know if you've ever had a mountaintop experience like Peter had. There's a place just outside of Sydney, in the mountains of Sydney, called Katoomba. There's a Christian conference center there. That's where I have my mountaintop experiences. I go there for retreats. There's lots of hiking. It's a beautiful place. Again, no one's going to tell you that when I'm gone, so you need to know that. It always feels like I'm closer to God on the mountain there, even though theologically that's foolish because God dwells in me by his Spirit. But bring it back to the passage. We don't need to have those mountaintop experiences. We have something that's just as amazing, just as life-changing. We have the prophetic word of God, God's word written down for us, which we can pick up and read whenever we want to. Although the transfiguration was proof and confirmation for Peter, all the prophecies of God in the Old Testament were true, that all the promises of God find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ, he goes on to explain in verses 20 and 21 that the prophetic word, which is the Bible, was already completely reliable. It's just as reliable as his eyewitness account. Because the Bible wasn't made up from someone's imagination. It didn't originate in the will of humankind. It wasn't one person's interpretation of the future or the world. The Bible is the very words of God, as men spoke and wrote what God gave them as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible isn't just full of inspirational words that are helpful for our life. They are full of God's inspirited words, words that are given to us from God himself. We have the privilege of holding that in our hands, of reading it any time of day that we like. So it's no wonder that Peter is so eager to encourage us to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place. As the psalmist says, God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the Bible is the light that we need in our lives, for by it we see everything else more clearly. One commentator notes that in this world, murky with lies, dark with sin's corruption, and shadowy with temptation's deceptions, I just like that description of the world, with all those things going on, we must earnestly follow the bright light of God's lamp, the Scriptures. So if you're feeling lost and directionless, turn to God's word. If you're feeling confused or lonely, turn to God's word. If you're feeling hard done by, turn to God's word. Pick up your Bible and read, and pray that by God's Spirit you might be shown the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, what are you paying attention to? As I leave you, I want to encourage you to be people who look to God's word, who pay attention to God in his word. For in it you'll find life. In the Bible, you hear words of comfort, of encouragement, and conviction. It won't tell you everything. It's not an instructional manual. But it'll tell you all you need for life and for salvation. For in God's word, you'll hear the good news that you have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. And if you come to Jesus, not only will you find comfort, but he'll give you life everlasting. And there are so many things that could distract you, even good things in this church. And again, I want to encourage you that while I still can, to make sure that you are paying attention to God and his word. Let it be your guide. Be people of the word, for it is the word of God that does the work of God on the people of God by the Spirit of God. And you'll do well to pay attention to God's word as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now this is my prayer for you guys, and I hope that you'll pray for Rachel and I, that would be our prayer as well. As we are faced with all the distractions of moving and starting a new job in a new city, please pray that we would be fixated on Jesus and his love for us on the cross. Let me pray for us as we go forth. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your love for us in Jesus Christ, that in him is all the fullness and glory of God. We thank you that he is your son, and that with him you are well pleased. Would you Help us by your Spirit to listen to him, to pay attention to you in your word, that we might see him, that we might know him, and that we might love him even more. And this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.